Hello, and welcome to the first special edition of the MedTech Podcast, where we get into a bit more detail about an industry topic than we're able to in a regular MedTech podcast, and I rustle up a few experts to interview for a point of view. I'm Rachel Smith, COO for ExchangeWire, and for regular listeners of the MedTech Podcast, you'll be pleased to know that I finally retreated under the duvet to get better sound recording quality. And I can tell you, it's pretty cozy under here. This episode is called Connected TV, Realising the Opportunity. I don't think there's a person who works in advertising and marketing technology today who isn't familiar with that as a topic for conversation. And that's because it's a narrative that we've developed in the industry over the last few years, that connected TV is the big opportunity for ad tech. And why? Well, because TV is an industry that's under significant disruption, and arguably we're only at the very start of that journey. Because the advertising part of the TV industry is fragmented without any one partner or technology player owning the lion's share of the market. And because it's arguably a more effective format and environment in which to target consumers with significant creative capabilities. But is the advertising and marketing technology industry actually realising the value of this promised opportunity yet? There are plenty of CTV fans out there. Hello, Jeff Green of the Trade Desk. And there's very few people who would dispute that advertising opportunities in a CTV environment will continue to grow. But are we actually seeing brand budgets shift significantly to this channel? In more advanced connected TV markets like, say, the US or the UK, are we on the cusp of explosive growth and movement in this part of the industry? Or are there still some fundamental challenges holding advertisers and agencies back, making broadcasters and content owners hold on to old ways of working? And crucially, are all the technology tools that we need to use advanced enough to help everybody make the move? Before trying to work this out, I just want to cover a couple of basics. For the purposes of this episode, I want to clarify a few terms. CTV, or connected TV, refers to video content consumed on a TV screen delivered via an internet connection. OTT, or over-the-top, refers to media services that allow access to TV content via the internet, usually consumed on devices like smartphones or tablets via apps. VOD refers to video on demand, SVOD, subscription video on demand, and AVOD, ad-supported video on demand. Linear refers to real-time TV, and ACR refers to automated content recognition, which is content identification and verification technology. Might seem pretty basic, but definitions differ across global markets, and I want you to know what we're referring to in this episode. So for my panel of experts, I spoke with Jonathan Lewis, Head of Digital and Partnership Innovation at Channel 4, Emma Newman, CRO EMEA for PubMatic, and Simon Maxson, Senior Product Manager for Samsung Ads in Europe. And I wanted a perspective on some of my questions. So I started with asking them if they thought advertisers were still reluctant to embrace advertising opportunities in a connected TV environment.
Yes, there is a reluctance. And there continues to be one. I think that the reasons that there are reluctant, that people are reluctant, are the same reasons that we've been having conversations about for a while now. So, you know, things like, how can they ensure that the consumer is getting the same level of experience? So, you know, things like ad podding and server-side ad insertion and all of those kinds of things, you know, that's all really important. And if people are moving their TV budgets, which is predominantly what it's going to be, into this space, they need to make sure that, you know, things behave in the way that they're used to. And that's things like, you know, making sure that there is ad exclusions and that they can have all of this level of security. So it's more than just about transparency and IQ. It's a whole nother level of security that they're looking for in order to be able to move their spends across.
And this was Simon's point of view.
We recognise that there are certain concerns or things holding back advertisers. But I think before we can speak to those concerns or limitations, I think there's largely still a huge amount of education that's needed in the environment. So do all brands and advertisers understand the potential to reach new audiences, whether that be that light linear audience that they can't otherwise connect to? You know, do they recognise the addressability of connected TV? Do they recognize the ease of activation? So I think even before we talk about challenges within the connected TV environment, there's still a huge amount of selling of the proposition that needs to happen in market really before it's fully adopted, certainly in Europe. We see from our US counterparts that connected TV is just a huge, huge business, really. And they, you know, they've had the benefit of a couple of years before us and been able to launch these products out in market. And so if we're to look into the future of, well, success of their propositions in Europe, we see that, yeah, I think that broadly we're a bit behind our US counterparts, but it's only heading in one direction. I think there's a huge momentum at the moment.
John from Channel 4 had a different perspective on brands' reluctance to embrace connected TV opportunities.
I think actually we're not seeing that in the context of our business. Big screen viewing actually has exploded for us, connected TV viewing, Televod, whatever you like to call it, over the last 6 weeks particularly. So we've had growth in big screen viewing as a proportion of our total viewing on video on demand. Represents 75% of total viewing, so it's exploded, and it was actually a high level pre-lockdown. So that growth has spiked in the last 6 or 7 weeks. So pre-lockdown, we were getting sort of percentages of around 65%. And what we're seeing is that actually advertisers are demanding more big screen due to obviously the impact that big screen delivers from an advertiser perspective. And I suppose, you know, the spike in big screen viewing is also commensurate really with you know, what people want to do when they're locked down in their houses and they're watching video on demand, they're watching their favourite shows on catch-up, they're going to want to watch it in the biggest screen possible in the house, in the living room. And so we're not massively surprised that this growth is spiking. And also, we're just evolving our capability in terms of what we can offer on the big screen. So we're delivering much greater programmatic capability through big screen. And also, we recently launched a new advertising product, actually in response to COVID-19 over the last 4 to 5 weeks, which is called Engage, and it works on big screen as well as on mobile and desktop devices, importantly, but it allows advertisers to change their ad creative on the fly.
If there is an education gap, as Simon suggests, and it's holding growth back, how is that being addressed?
On the messaging side of things, I think we've definitely taken the view that in launching our own product, it has to be almost an all ships rise to this. So we are promoting the benefits of CTV more broadly. So that means, you know, we're out in events, we're speaking to clients directly, we're in agencies speaking about connected TV more broadly. You know, even in the early phases of our AVOD launch, I'm speaking to agencies and they're going, "Oh, is this sitting with our AV team or our digital team?" So again, it's about just getting out there, talking about the benefits of CTV more broadly. Where you are speaking to the digital teams, of course, there are known challenges around measurement in CTV, and we recognise that. I think advertisers want big transparency. They want the measurement capabilities that they've, you know, come to expect from desktop and mobile, and they want it to be available in CTV and OTT. They want brand safe environments, they want to be fraud free, etc. So we recognise all of these challenges.
So if brands and advertisers are still struggling with pushing their spend to connected TV, and let's say it's not entirely because they don't see the value of it, but actually their concerns are maybe a little more practical, are the right technology tools in place to help them get there?
I think it's coming. So I think that if you think about you know, more and more of the OTT and the CTV spend is coming through programmatic. And you start to see, you know, if you start looking at partnerships like, you know, ITV have brought a partnership with Amobee, and then Roku's just purchased DataXu. You know, you can see that these publishers are starting to take the digital opportunity much more seriously. So I think they can see that, you know, the technology is starting to be there. But, you know, I think it still has a long way to go. I think one of the biggest breakthroughs to help really drive this spend will be when there is an effective, I guess, header bidding solution. So that enables, you know, everybody to bring all of that opportunity under one, I guess, technology banner. So you get access to all of the demand, access to all of the supply. You can be much more creative in terms of, you know, audience packaging and who you're targeting and all of those kinds of things, and also contextually as well. So I think that the technology is coming, and I think that you're starting to see the, I guess, the pace of innovation in this space is increasing, you know, exponentially.
We also recognise the importance of third-party verification. We know that will help get advertisers and agencies on board. In the meantime, and while there's a lot of industry-wide, you know, activations of that type of verification, I think what we can do is provide assurances to partners around the fact that we're working with, say, content partners who are producing long-form broadcast quality content to go into our AVOD services. We're building transparent, close-knit ads ecosystems, and we're ensuring that the full supply chain is known and trusted. But also, as Samsung, we're maintaining a kind of a consumer-first approach. You know, advertising is not the biggest part of our business. We are electronics consumer-first company. So ensuring that it's always thinking about the consumer before we think about our monetization strategies or ad tech in itself.
I wanted to know if anyone thought advertisers were displaying a fear of the unknown when it comes to experimenting with CTV.
Yeah, I think some of it is about fear of change. I think that's human nature. Yeah. You know, they. I think when you think about the television buying, for example, it's really about content. It's very content centric, and I think, you know, brands and agencies are potentially having a challenge letting go of that and start, you know, and really going into, look, media buyers, I guess, seek their comfort zones. They seek less risk. I remember, you know, when we were trying to get digital budgets, you know, somebody used to say to me, you never get fired for buying Facebook because everybody is very aware of it. It's very visible. And I think that that's where CTV and OTT is perhaps not as visible as traditional television. So I think that's definitely, you know, it's a valid concern in some ways, but it's also a frustration because people have got to take some risks. They've got to understand that, you know, those content providers and the technology platforms that are supporting those content providers, you know, it's not in our interest for this to be a bad experience for anybody. It's not in our interest for, you know, the OTT and CTV to be considered the Wild West. It's, you know, it's in our interest to make sure that this is a safe environment for brands. And I think that, you know, there's, we, you know, a lot of work is taking place. Are we there yet? No. But I do think that programmatic is really going to be able to help this, because with programmatic, you can be much more targeted on blacklists and block lists. You can apply contextual targeting, for example. You can apply contextual blacklisting. I would expect to see, you know, a completely different landscape, even in 6 months' time, with regards to the technology capability.
I also had to ask, if John wasn't seeing so much reluctance from advertisers to commit budget to connected TV, what was he seeing right now, given the challenges facing the advertising industry from both sides during global lockdown?
April, May, we definitely have seen a downturn in advertising spend, and I think that's very well documented, but in the ballpark of around sort of 40 to 50% decline in advertising investment over those 2 months. Really hard to predict about what will happen in the future. There's various different schools of thoughts about how quickly the bounce back will come. And we talked minutes ago about, you know, the releasing of lockdown, I think will be a big determinant in terms of advertiser confidence coming back into the market. In terms of those advertisers that are still spending, there's a couple of categories really. There's probably the, I say, the sort of opportunistic categories. So there seems to be quite a lot of gaming advertising, and also S4 platforms are spending quite heavily. So launch of Disney Plus, etc. And then you've got those categories that, as you say, are performing reasonably well in this current environment. So FMCGs and markets are continuing to expand. So Procter & Gamble and Unilever being a good example, are spending through this, as are the supermarkets. And then you've got other categories that have completely stalled. So, and the obvious, and we've been reading and hearing about it in the press over the course of the last week or so, airlines, particularly, and travel companies who have completely stopped spending. And the question is, when will they come back, if they will come back this year?
For those brands who are boldly entering the connected TV advertising space, what kind of results can they expect? Samsung's offering in UK and four other European countries is only 18 months old, but Simon had this to share.
We definitely speak heavily about the opportunity to reach that. We call it the total TV watcher. You could also call it the kind of light linear viewer or heavy OTT viewer as well. We absolutely recognise the role of linear TV in media advertising and the strength of it in getting a brand's message across. But we also see, via our ACR technology, that there's a huge shift. For example, using our ACR technology, we can see viewership across all platforms and across all channels. So it gives us a real kind of holistic view of where viewership is happening. In Q1 this year, we recognised that 42% of Samsung UK households are light linear TV viewers. That means they're watching less than 2 hours of linear content per month. 14% of them were exclusively on OTT environments. So as I say, this is just representing the Samsung TV audience. But you can see then that when you're speaking to TV media buyers, we can really help them drive efficiencies for their TV spend. We think that our AVOD service or even our CTV solutions provide a great opportunity for incremental reach for brands complementing their linear spend.
We had some working from home Wi-Fi issues in the middle of this, but Simon continues here.
Incremental reach campaign that we ran for an advertiser. So we were able to start our connected TV campaign a few days after their linear campaign started. So what we were looking to do was target TVs that had not been exposed to the linear ad. So in total, by the end of the campaign, we found that 21% of Samsung TVs were not exposed to the ad at all. The linear campaign reached 37%. There was an overlap of 15%, but we were able to reach an additional 27% of that audience with the same creative. The key point is when we're talking about the benefits of CTV and OTT, we're speaking about an incremental reach. We're speaking about connected with that light linear audience, that total TV watcher.
And this is what Channel 4 are up to when it comes to product offerings for advertisers.
We've been in a relatively unique position over the last 5 years, where we have this huge database of registered users, and we've been using that database to deliver more bespoke and personal targeting solutions, leveraging our first-party data. So we kicked that off probably about 6 years ago by offering targeting solutions against demographic audiences, which is from the data that we receive from people registering, and also the fact that all of these people are logged in. So 100% of our user base is logged in, so they're all targetable, be using demographic audiences. We also target against interest or behavior-based segments, which is using a panel of around about 6,000 users, which are surveyed, and then from that panel we build out segments, so behavioral segments, be that people with certain interests in DIY or beauty or whatever it might be. So we've had those kind of products in place in market for some time, over the last 12 months we've seen that we want to build on that targeting suite and launch an advanced suite of data products, which I suppose are more fit for purpose for the sort of post-GDPR ICO world, where first-party data is becoming more and more important and we move towards, cookie-less environment. Our hero product is Brand Match, which is the ability for clients to bring their own data. So many clients have got their rich first-party data sets, and to be able to target their own segments in a GDPR compliant way against all four users, we felt was a little bit of a silver bullet in this new world. And it's something that some of our digital competitors are already doing, something that Facebook are employing. And we've been working with what we would say pioneers in this space, so InfoSum, who deliver the target matched targeting capability using basically safe haven bunker technology, so no data is actually shared. So then we get a match with the client's data against all four user data, and then we employ the services of a company called MediaRhythmics, who are able to model and scale that data set to provide a targetable segment that can be bought against and transacted against. There's a couple of other sister products that sit behind Brand Match. One's called Approved, which is a partnership with data provider Axiom. So that's really targeting those clients that don't have access to first-party data, but they're buying Axiom segments either on an off-the-shelf or bespoke way across other publishers. So we're matching Axiom data with all four data, again, using the same methodology with InfoSum. And we've got around about 80 or 90 audience segments that can be bought. The final sort of piece of the jigsaw is bespoke. So we talk about bring your own data. Bespoke is more about build your own data sets. And that's really just derived from mining Channel 4's data, be that viewer attributes, viewer consumption or viewer history.
I was also curious to understand the breadth of the connected TV market that my experts were dealing with. Their roles are European or UK focused. And so for context, current estimates of the size of advertising spend in connected TV in the UK is approximately 500 million. And pre-pandemic was estimated to grow 30% year on year. The number of connected TV users in the UK is expected to grow to 38 million by 2023, again, estimated pre-pandemic. Although current global lockdown measures have a lot of us spending more time than usual at home, which has provided a boost to viewer numbers across all screen-consumed content, it's also had a huge impact on the volume of advertising across all formats. So it's hard to know where these predictions will end up. Here's what my experts had to say on viewing trends and the opportunity for advertising growth.
Over the past year, the global OTT market, which, let's be honest, really, you know, started in the US, because they have a slightly different television setup to, you know, to perhaps we do in Europe. But I do think that over the last year, it's definitely begun to focus its expansion into Europe. And I think in 2020, there will be a boom in streaming on the continent. I think Disney Plus, you know, has made its services available in Europe. Stars launched in Germany, France, and in the UK in the summer of last year, I believe it was. That's expanding to more markets this year. Many other services are expanding their European efforts as well. You know, there is a requirement to offer 30% European content by the end of this year. So I don't know how realistic that's going to be right now, because obviously content budgets are being reduced at the moment. So maybe, you know, there is that opportunity, as you say, where there's this, you know, an opportunity for some consolidation around bringing some of that content together to get to that 30% mark. I think that, you know, subscribers in Europe or Western Europe are expected to increase from around 133 million last year to around 159 million by 2023. Now, you know, with what's been happening at the moment, we may see that number actually hockey sticks, and the majority of the additional subscriptions happen over this year as opposed to over a slightly longer period. I do think, though, that competition will increase, because as there are more subscribers coming into the market, there will definitely be a battle for viewer attention, because, as I said, there is a certain level of fatigue. There's only so many channels you can, you know, hope to keep on top of. There's only so many subscriptions you can actually afford. So I think that there will be definitely be a competition for audiences. And I think that that's where, you know, the media owners really need to understand viewers' changing streaming habits.
From Samsung's perspective, we have a very agnostic view of viewership on the TV. So we know that viewers are shifting from linear to OTT. You know, you only need to look at the recent IAB CTV report that talks about how, you know, certainly from a younger audience, that they're not starting with linear at all. You know, they're going, the first choice is always going to their OTT app. So there's enough reports out there to back this up. But I think really what advertisers and brands want to see is, when you've provided this kind of report, also talk to us about the methodology. How have you actually come to this conclusion? How have you come to these results? And where you can say that it's deterministic, it's one-to-one, it's not scaled, it's not modeled. Yes, there are surprises, but more so, I think they're pleased to see results that they can really rely on and have confidence in as well.
John told me that Channel 4 has seen a big increase in consumption on the big screen, a modern term for a big telly, and I wondered what might be driving that.
To answer your specific question around the appetite for big screen, I think it's evolved over time, and we're obviously a TV broadcaster, so we're in probably a different place to maybe the digital competition, say the likes of YouTube and Facebook, where the screen is a 5-centimeter square smartphone or maybe a bit bigger, but not much bigger, that's delivering that attention. Whereas our user base and also our advertiser base is seeing the value of the impact of the big screen and the impact of the advertising on the big screen. And we've just been working really, really hard to ensure that the technology and the capability, both from a buying transactional perspective, but also, you know, what we can do on the big screen from an advertiser product perspective, sort of keeps pace with the user demand of wanting to watch your favorite Channel 4 content on the biggest screen possible, which is often in your living room or your study or whatever it might be.
And what about the publisher or content media owner in this transaction? How are they able to maximise opportunities in connected TV?
Media owners have, even before the situation that we find ourselves in now, you know, these media owners were looking for new ways to monetise their platforms, you know, whether they are ad-funded, whether they're fee-based, sometimes it's a combination of the two. I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that right now, you know, ad-funded probably has got the bigger opportunity simply because there's a little bit of subscription fatigue out there. I mean, literally, how many can you subscribe to? I mean, you know, I've got 4 or 5 or 6 subscriptions. I probably only watch 2. People are very cognizant of what they're spending their money on right now. So they may choose to do 2 subscriptions and then look for ad-funded over-the-top content as well. So I think that there's definitely an opportunity there. So I do think that this is accelerating the pace of innovation and the pace of change. I think the TV screen is a very valid point, and I think that, you know, what's going to be really important, I think, is understanding that for advertising to be successful in this space, the advertising itself has got to look like content, and it's got to be relevant, and it's got to feel like part of the overall programming experience. And I think that is, you know, a huge opportunity. I think programmatic can really help there, certainly, because that's what they do in traditional linear television. They sort of look at the content that it's around, and they try and build a seamless experience. And I think that's something that we need to think about. How do we help drive that in this new world of OTT and CTV? So I do think that there is an opportunity, and I do think that the situation we're finding ourselves in is definitely accelerating the pace. Broadcasters and CTV apps have been slightly slow to bring a fully fledged programmatic offering to market, rather. Yeah. And I think that will change. You'll certainly start to see some of the large sort of broadcasters and publishers like Warner, Sony, and MGM, you know, start to provide the audiences with free premium content, but on an ad-supported model. So I definitely think there'll be growth there from an advertising perspective.
Part of it really is also working with the broadcasters. A big part of our business is actually driving exposure for the broadcasters on the Samsung platform as well. So we don't necessarily see them as being restricted for us. We see them being partners as well. We understand that there are, you know, reports, you know, lots of people discuss how very enclosed certain markets are, but that's not really been our experience today.
And are the current lockdown circumstances driving innovation?
I've seen some really innovative stuff from the broadcasters just over the past few weeks about, you know, how they're helping people with their creative so that they can adjust their creative more quickly to be more appropriate to, you know, the situation that we find ourselves in, being much more flexible with the buyers. You know, I think the broadcasters are doing a really, really good job of, you know, supporting this industry, supporting the brands, supporting the buyers?
Over the course of the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've definitely seen both from a broadcaster publisher perspective, so from my side of the fence, but also on the other side of the fence from a client advertiser perspective, that there's a lot more, particularly recently, a lot more innovation, creativity, front-footedness, and also, you know, the ability to cut your cloth according to your circumstances and do things differently, be that from, you know, the TV creative that you make, which is seeing on air a lot, which is all shot with people's iPhones and individually within people's households, or even when it comes to the TV content that's created on our screens, and you see a raft of different formats from the Graham Norton show shot in his lounge in his house to Grace and Perry's Art Club on Channel 4, which is getting huge audiences on a Monday night, which does is doing amazing business for us in that slot, and is again Grace and Perry and his wife in their art studio at home talking to the public and also talking to various different celebrities. So I do believe that good will come out of this from a creativity perspective, and I think it will urge both clients, customers, viewers to probably think differently about how things are done. And I think there probably will be some opportunity that comes out of this.
Accepting that there are still some technology challenges, perhaps some awareness and education issues for brands and advertisers, and broadcasters and content owners are still grappling with establishing suitable business models, where is the connected TV industry heading next? From a product perspective, John had this to say about the direction Channel 4's connected TV business is taking.
So we've been working with a number of advertisers to test Brand Match over the last month or so, which is extending out over the next couple of months. But it's fair to say that the one of the reasons why we wanted to launch this advanced data suite was deliberately to target those advertisers that may be new to TV or new to broadcast or VOD, because by offering a much more granular targeting solution, we think we can encourage greater investment away from, you know, arguably some of the more pure play digital platforms onto TV, where pure play platforms, there has been arguably more granular targeting capability, which is what we're obviously trying to overlay into our new services and offerings. And we've seen some really positive conversations and interest from those D2C clients and also SMEs that we might not have seen previously before this opportunity existed. In one area, we're driving our digital innovation and targetable ad products. But in parallel, we have an initiative to drive our engagement with clients. So notwithstanding, we will always continue to talk to media agencies because they're very, very important in the value chain. But it's also clear that the clients want to hear more from us directly, particularly in this segment I've just talked about. So we have structured our team slightly differently over the course of the back end of last year. So we have a specific client-facing team of around about 13 or 14 people that now are actively out there in market talking directly to clients. And obviously, this is one of the areas where we can have meaningful conversations and deliver real positive business outcomes for clients.
We are fully backing Connected TV and OTT. And I think where advertisers and brands need to be looking at first-party data as their way of connecting with audiences, we feel like we're in a pretty good position at Samsung. We have a wealth of first-party data, and we're investing a huge amount into CTV and OTT. As a broader Samsung business, there's a huge amount being put behind it, and that's those decisions being made way above our team and, you know, into Samsung as a whole. So I think when the business has confidence in the growth of this market, you know, we also have confidence in the growth of it too. As cookieless environments come into desktop and web, we do feel pretty confident that a lot of that spend is going to shift into CTV, and we feel pretty ready to be able to take that on. I think scale largely comes into it as well, where to go back to perhaps the initial question where some have been kind of put off by CTV, I think where you're relying on some kind of potential long tail or platforms where there just isn't the scale there. You know, again, when you have a partner, you know, for Samsung's perspective, who have, you know, got 30 million ad-supported smart TVs across Europe. So, you know, you really, to get the most amount of benefits from CTV, to be able to utilize all of the targeting benefits, you need to start with a base of great amount of scale. And that's something that we have. So I think for advertisers, they really need to look to those sorts of partners to really get the most amount of benefit.
Emma sees exponential growth in the connected TV marketplace, underscored by the importance of strong tech partners.
Having great technology partners, and programmatic is really playing into this, by the way, and I don't just mean from a PubMatic perspective, but just programmatic allows you to be so much more flexible, you know, so much more nimble. And, you know, that used to come at a price, which was, it wasn't a great experience, but now with the evolution of, you know, of server-side header bidding and the ability to, you know, really target and measure and all of those kinds of things, you've got all of that flexibility and nimbleness and transparency, but you've also got a great user experience. And I think when you bring those two things together, that's when you win.
Despite all the hugely valuable insight from my experts, who generously volunteered their time to chat with me, I feel I might be concluding with more questions than I have answers. And that's not just because it's seriously time to come out from under the duvet. Yes, connected TV is a growing opportunity for advertisers, and it seems they're beginning to realise the value, but are they convinced of the scale and the audience reach? There are clear opportunities for targeting offered by broadcasters and content providers, particularly within specific markets like the UK, and the tech tools on offer are growing in sophistication. But what does the connected TV market look like in other regions? Join me for the next episode in this Mad Tech podcast special, when we take a look at three specific global CTV markets to better understand how things are unfolding outside of the US and the UK. Thanks for listening.